It's called Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nikki T.
And I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have a guest here today, special guest, Miss Erin Kirby. Give it up.
Hello.
Yay.
Thanks for being here with us at this beautiful afternoon here in Hermitage, Tennessee.
The rare afternoon podcast.
Yeah, we usually do these like 7 p.m. and then we just chain smoke cigars after.
Okay.
But today we're just going to chain smoke cigars after this anyway.
Gotcha.
It's just during the day.
I was afraid you were about to say 7 a.m.
Oh, God, no.
Be like, my gosh.
Yeah, I woke up at 7 a.m. today, but only because I had to burn boxes. Raised Rowdy.
True.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're from the South. Tell us about where you're from.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me today.
Of course.
Absolutely.
I'm from Georgia.
Yep.
I'm from a small town in North Georgia called Jasper.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm a singer-songwriter who moved to Nashville about a year and a half ago. I still travel back and forth because it's only a three-hour drive back to home.
Not bad.
And, you know, got to get that little bit of country after being stuck in the city for so long.
Yeah.
But I do country music. I write, I perform. I just love music. It's all I've ever done my whole life, but it's awesome. It's super
cool. Jasper one of the cities in northern Georgia that are on a lake?
No.
Okay.
I don't think we have a lake.
I'm definitely getting that confused with someplace else. I was like, I've definitely been to Jasper, but no, I haven't. Is it just outside of Atlanta or?
It's 60 miles north. You might be thinking of like Blue Ridge, Ellijay.
Probably.
Think there's a lake up there. We're like 20 minutes south of that.
Nice.
If I'm driving.
So beautiful up there.
Kurt's mom's originally from Georgia.
She is, but she's from southeastern Georgia, like near Brunswick, St. Mary's.
Okay, yeah, and I'm nowhere near that.
Not even close, yeah.
I was just in Georgia this weekend. We were at Rome River Jam.
Oh, awesome.
How was that, by the way?
It was very good, man. I love Rome River Jam. That's the second time I get to see a show there.
Did Bailey, cool Bailey play that?
Yeah.
Did he headline or no?
No, he was second. He was second headliner behind
direct
Parker.
Support.
Yeah, direct support. That's
for Parker.
Awesome.
For the industry words, you know?
Yeah.
I went the year Morgan was playing.
Yeah.
So I got to see Ernest and Hardy.
Morgan, Hardy, Ernest?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got the whole thing. It was awesome.
That was a great show, honestly. I was at that one. And at the time, I worked for Big Loud Records.
It was the Big Loud Holy Trinity.
Yeah. My job was literally taking chug buds out in the crowd and making people like do videos with them. I was like, that's a cool job. So how old are you?
I am 19.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 20 soon. It's crazy.
That's crazy. We've had a few people that are younger on our pod, like Matt's had Carson Wallace, mm-hmm. who's like another person in town
that's
doing great. Oh, we do too. We love Carson.
He's fantastic.
It's funny too, because like the first time I saw him play was like a year ago, almost to the date, was at that Blue Water Polarized tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He like popped up and played and I was like, who is this kid? And then now like the thing's working.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
So talented.
Have you met him and everything?
Yeah, we did coffee one time. We did like a TikTok cover day or whatever and like filmed some videos and stuff. He's super talented. Just a great person.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I know you've had some like success on TikTok, speaking of TikTok.
A little bit.
So like, is there anything that you like did to kind of make that happen or just like talking about songs?
You know what? TikTok is so hard.
It is.
It's something that I always was so afraid of.
Yeah.
And my first video to ever go viral was not a singing video. I got 10 million views on me doing my hair.
That's so crazy.
And then I got stuck in like, we want to see you do your hair. And I'm like, I don't know how to do my hair at all. So there's not going to be much of that. But I spent about a year and a half posting music content every day until something mm-hmm. finally
worked.
Did well. Yeah.
A year and a half.
Yeah. Takes time to like get out of that world that they put me in. And but it was totally worth it.
It's so funny too with TikTok, because like we've seen that stuff too. Like Kurt and I talk, we're like, we have these beautiful clips where artists are telling about their lives and like, you know, it's like important moments in their lives. And then, you know, we make a meme about Limp Bizkit and it does like 7 million views.
You're right.
You know? You probably don't even know who Limp Bizkit is.
That's just TikTok for you.
It is, honestly. And it's just like, I mean, culturally, if you're thinking about what TikTok is and what makes it work, right?
Yeah.
So it's like grabbing their attention from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you grab their attention, keeping them there.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
So when you're building out your content, it's like that's kind of what you're shooting for, right? So it's like give them a hook, right on the bat.
Yeah.
And then, okay, once you got the hook, then you give them the talent, which you have.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's you just got to figure it out. And it's always changing. Yes. Always, whether it's in the car or an acoustic video or the stairwell, at least for singing and stuff. You got to try so many different things and realize that, like, maybe the video didn't do well, but it could have been the day. Yep. It could have been the time you posted, or it might blow up 3 months later. So don't give up.
It's so funny, too. I was talking to one of our buddies, Ryan Waters, and Ryan is a guy who's had some success on TikTok as well. And he's like, you know, my most streamed song now is a song that when it came out, didn't do well.
Yeah.
But then 2 years later, it caught on socials. So it's like, even if you have something that has been out for a while, it's still worth trying to push through back through that, because maybe at that time, it will kind of kick up and do that.
Definitely.
How much time would you say you spend working on content a week?
Oh my gosh, a lot of time. I mean, I don't know. I try to carve out every day, like at least a couple hours, just to, even if it's not creating the content, like getting ideas and practicing or figuring something out to record the content, you know?
Absolutely.
So a few hours a day, I'd say.
And what do you, like, are you writing a lot when you're in town?
Yes. So I usually have like 3 to 4 writing sessions a week.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's so fun though. You know, every day it's either somebody new, which is super cool. Just everybody knows my business in this town at this point.
That's how it works.
Open my mouth and the words spew out and everyone's like, oh, that girl, she's got issues. But yeah, I mean, 3-4 days out of the week and fill the time with other stuff, whatever that is. And sometimes new people, sometimes people that I know and love. And I just have so many best friends in my mind.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the cool parts about the community is like you get to find more people.
Yeah.
That like, and you're telling them some of your stories. So it's kind of like sitting down over dinner.
Yeah,
you know?
This is true.
Like you're getting to bond with someone in a way where you're actually like getting something productive out of it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's neat.
That's something I love about Nashville. I feel like before when I was writing music, when I first started, it was like in Atlanta or New York, and it was more so about the song. And I feel like Nashville is about the connection over the song, because it's like, if we don't finish this song today, that's okay. We'll grab a date in a month. And at least we like got to just hang out and have a great day together.
Yeah.
So I love that about Nashville.
And that's one of my favorite things about it too. Cause you'll hear people that are like, yo, I write with this person all the time, but it's cause they know their stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like they know who that person is and they can help bring that out in the song.
Definitely.
You know,
definitely. You get more comfortable as time goes on.
Yeah.
Just like dating.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
True. That's funny.
Have you traveled any far areas to do shows or anything yet? Like,
not recently.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I guess so. Yeah, when I was 13, I did this like anti-bullying tour. So we went to Vegas and Michigan and Texas and stuff, and we would go into schools and like perform and talk about our stories as musicians and the hate and stuff that we get and have to deal with every day, just to kind of like inspire students not to let that, you know, get them down. So I've done stuff like that. I've traveled for other shows, not recently on the country end, but it's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Absolutely. How did you originally link up with Cameron Marlowe for that duet, too?
So that came from TikTok, actually. He and I were friends on TikTok because I'm a huge fan of Cameron.
So you're too.
I've covered like all of his songs, it feels like, at this point. But I saw he posted a TikTok last November looking for someone to duet I Can Lie, The Truth Is.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, what the heck? Like, I'll just post a TikTok. Maybe he'll see it and say, oh, that's cool. And then, like, move on from there. But
so he posted the song without a female vocal on it and said, what did he post that brought you to it?
It just said, like, oh, tag a female that you would want to see on this, like duet this.
Yeah.
And so I just said, okay, I'll try it. And like I said, maybe he'll see it and that'll be the end of it. But it immediately blew up, just started gaining traction. And for months, people were like commenting our names back and forth to one another.
Like on your post or whatever?
Yeah, on our posts. And there was nothing I really could do at the time, because I knew he had commented saying that he loved my like rendition or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was all. So it went on, and I think it was either May or June, he ended up stitching it was June, because he put out his version and I decided I love the song, I'll just cover it like I do with all of his songs. And he stitched that video back and was like, this is my formal invitation to say like, hey, please come be on the song with me.
Wow.
And I immediately do edit it back. I was like, I'm leaving now. I'm getting my keys. Tell me where to be. And then for a few weeks, there was nothing. And I was like, okay, well, that was fun. Like,
welcome to the music industry.
Yeah. I was like, okay,
hurry
cool.
Hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait.
Exactly. And then I think it was 2 weeks after that video was posted, I was going to lunch with my manager. At least that's what I thought. And we were going to stop in a studio and look at it for like pictures and content and stuff. And I loved the location. We were looking around and there was one studio that was occupied. And I saw Cameron and I was like, oh, we don't have to go in there. Like, I see someone is working in there. That's cool. Love it. But Cameron ended up walking up to me and was like, hey, I'm Cameron. And today we brought you here to cut the song if you'd like to be on it. So would you? And I was like, why'd you even ask? Like, yes, I'll do it right now. Let's do it.
Like, damn, like, didn't even give me a chance to drink some tea that morning or like warm up. So the cool thing is, like, I know like most artists hate TikTok, but like as a fan, it's like him saying, someone duet this with me. It's like a one-off little mini game show. It's like American Idol for one
song.
Yeah.
This
so that's so pretty true. Cool.
That's a cool marketing thing. One. Number two, it's like an opportunity like that doesn't always come up.
No. Right?
So specifically with someone that's like on a label like that, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's a super cool thing to have that happen.
Definitely. Super fortunate. And, you know, looking back at it, that year and a half of having to post music content in order to get into that world, maybe it seemed frustrating at the time, but now looking back at it, like, I wouldn't have been able to do that through anything else other than social media. Yep. So thanks TikTok for doing that.
Yeah. When that happened, were you still in Georgia or were you
No, I was in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been up here?
About a year and a half, 2 years.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little short time.
Do you go to school or just strictly music?
Just music.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's joking because my mom was always like, once you find your team, my senior year of high school, she's like, if you don't have a team by the end, you're going to college. Like, just go for me. 'Cause she loves school.
Yeah.
Loves it. I do not love school. I hate it very much. Sorry. But I literally met my team right before I graduated high school. And the moment I signed that contract, I ran to my parents' room and I was like, not going to college. And my dad was like, she's not going to college. My mom's like, oh, well, you did it. You worked your butt off, I guess.
Well, that's the thing, too. You can always go back to college.
Exactly. And do it online or whatever. Yeah. So,
I remember I had a buddy that just finished up his degree that he left like 10 years ago. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's never the right or wrong time to do it. You just have to do what's right for you.
Oh yeah.
You
know? It's different for everybody. My brother cannot wait to go to college. Mm-hmm. Like that is his thing. School is his thing. It's never my thing. I was like the homeschooled weirdo, you know, that just did music all the time. So.
Well, tell us about your family. Like, so were your parents musically inclined at all?
Not at all. Okay. No, my mom's from Chicago, mm-hmm. and then my dad's from Georgia. Mm-hmm. But my mom obviously didn't like grow up on country music. My dad didn't either. So mm-hmm. growing up, country music was not something that was in my house. It was more like Motown, R&B, and then a little bit of like rock. So mm-hmm. country music was something my brother and I found on our own, kind of in the same timeline. And it was really cool because we bonded over that, fell in love with it. The pandemic happened. It was like a time to start over and just fall in love with our hometown, dig our country roots, you know, back down in that small town and just love country music. But my parents know there's no music anywhere in the household. My mom's a painter, so she's creative. But
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great. At what age did you know that you like wanted to do music as your thing?
Gosh, I would say... I mean,
you were already touring when you were 13. That's pretty cool.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe 8 or 9.
That's crazy.
I started in pageants, and mm-hmm. I wanted to do pageants, so I had somewhere to sing. And the moment I did talent, my first performance, stepped on stage, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is for me. I'm obsessed with this. Love singing on stage.
I was still in diapers when I was 9, I think.
He's just kidding, by the way. Yeah. She doesn't know your personality.
Oh, okay. You gotta be
gentle. No, sarcasm is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just did a podcast with Shelby Ray. That was like our last podcast we did. And Shelby's like 22. And we were like chatting with her and we definitely dated ourselves a little bit when we did it, you know?
Yeah. Old.
Also, I'm sorry for offering you a beer when you weren't 21.
It's okay.
I wouldn't have let you drink it.
I mean, there's so many people that are my age and younger that drink.
Yeah.
It's crazy because Georgia, it's legal if your parents say sure, or your parents are there and they offer it.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not here. we've had some stuff like at Live Oak, so like, you know, we have rounds there, of course. Rowdy on the Row, and then outside the round, and we've had some like things where it's like, all right, like come in, here's your wristband, and like just please don't drink because we'll get in trouble, you know.
Yeah.
So we have you coming up playing Rowdy on the Row soon. Yes. Which I'm excited about.
Oh no shit!
Yeah. I'm super excited.
Absolutely.
Do you accompany yourself on guitar? Or?
I do. Yeah. Wow. You guys are gonna put a wristband on my forehead, I guess.
Oh yeah,
right?
We're definitely gonna put like giant X's all over your body. You know.
I'm just gonna wear an X. It's fine.
You're like, this is it. I'm good. No, but like one of the things with Raise Rowdy is like one of the things we pride ourselves in is like being at the forefront of like when you see stuff working.
Yeah.
Right. And like we see your stuff working.
Well, thank you.
Of course. Yeah. And you're talented. Your vocal is great. It's distinct. You like when I hear you, I can tell it's you. You
thank
know what
you.
I mean?
Of thank course. Thank you so much.
And I mean, part of it, like we had Lainey Wilson on the pod and she talked about like how hard it is to grind on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a grind. Just like everything's a grind. You know, Kurt will grind on playing fiddle and learning how to do it. You know what I mean? So when he's out on the road with Luke and the boys, mm-hmm. you're not missing notes. And it's just a different kind of grind.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
But this industry is big about that thing, right? It's about not just how good you are, but it's about how willing you are to work for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I think that talent is a big portion of it, mm-hmm. but I also feel like God gives people the gift of just working hard.
Yeah.
And if you, I know for me, I'm a Christian, and so mm-hmm. I see that God gave me the gift of music, and I want to be able to use that, and I don't want to take that for granted.
Yeah.
But there's so many people that maybe don't realize that about themselves, or they haven't figured that out yet, and they don't. I was given an opportunity to realize very young that I was given the gift of music. So yeah. I was fortunate to have a family that supported me mm-hmm. so that I was able to start music as soon as possible, whereas a lot of people don't get that opportunity.
Amen.
So
yeah.
working hard is part of it, but I feel like other people have to work just as hard. My parents had to work hard to drive me around and get me mm-hmm. out of school to bring yes. me to vocal coaching or guitar lessons or whatever it was. So it's everybody that's working.
Yeah.
You know, God's working the hardest. So
yeah. It's one of those things too where it's like you're talking about your parents being part of your team, right?
Yep.
That's your team before you have a team.
Yeah.
You know? And then they knew that to get you to the next level, you had to have that team. And if you had a team, then they were like, all right, mm-hmm. we're okay with you not going to school.
Yep.
You know?
That's exactly how it went.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's like, and that'll develop, but you know, having worked at a label and having gotten to see so many folks now that I've been in the town for a while, it's like you see the power of what other people pointing forward in the same direction can do.
Yeah.
You know, it takes an army. It really does take an army.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Do you have a pub deal in town? Is that how you're getting your rights?
No, okay. Not right
so
now.
Indie? Yep.
Yeah. So we hired on Carol Ann Mobley to mm-hmm. go ahead and like help with booking rights and
yeah.
stuff. And she's been fantastic. I awesome. Say she's like my mama bear on the team.
Yeah.
You know, I got my mom and then I got my mama bear. She's like, she's got it going. But yeah, so we're booking rights that way and yeah. just meeting people, playing rounds and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I noticed you don't play like a ton of rounds. I've seen you like play at the Listening Room.
Yes.
And like what in-town events have you enjoyed playing so far?
So it's been mainly the Listening Room.
Yeah.
We're just starting to pick rounds back up and
yeah.
shows and everything.
Yep.
Just because it took so long for me to figure out where I wanted to go in the direction of country.
Yeah.
Just coming from doing pop and R&B and being pushed into that mold for so long,
mm-hmm.
being able to freely do what I want to do, taking the time to make sure it's where my heart really is,
yeah.
was important to me. So I just wanted to wait some time, get those songs, the content, you know, together before I started doing that. So
yeah,
it's been mainly the Listening Room. I've mm-hmm. done a few like writers rounds for publishing companies and stuff like that, where we did like a writers camp last week and
wow,
we did
awesome.
One at Bobby's Idol on Monday.
Nice.
So yeah, just stuff like that.
Where was the writing camp at?
It was between Demolition and Seagale.
Nice.
Yeah. So we went to like one house for 2 days and one the other. And I said it was like school for me. Like that's my version of school. We got lunch every day. I was looking forward to that. We got our classrooms. We were like working on our projects, you know.
I mean, and honestly, like those are kind of interviews for pub deals. You know what I mean? Like True. That's how it works.
Yeah.
You know? If people see that you kick butt, then they're like, oh, okay. You know? but I mean, there's so many pieces to it, right? One is like, okay, if you have the vocal, then you can sing the songs. You don't have to pay someone to do a demo, right? And then you also have the chance of cutting it yourself, probably, right? True. Like yeah. That's what you're probably striving for.
Absolutely. Right?
But if you get a good song that isn't your song, mm-hmm. then you can cut that as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
And that's when the pub deals usually work, is like, if you're willing to, if the song's not exactly your thing, to let other people hear it and possibly cut it.
Yeah.
And that can cause so much success too.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all going to happen in the right timing.
Yeah.
That's how I believe. You got to just trust in God's plan and keep working, keep going for it.
Well, this thing is all about waves, right? Like yeah. The music industry specifically, like, you're not at the exact same point ever for a long period of time. It's going right. to go down, it's going to go up, but it's like, how yep. fast can you get it rolling?
Yeah,
you
know? Totally. And now we're like in November, December, where everything's going to shut down.
No.
So
I can't wait. it's funny too, because I've been in town, I guess, 3 years, right at 3 years.
Okay.
And so, you know, I ran Rage Rowdy from Pittsburgh before that, but like,
yeah.
I didn't really know all of the music industry stuff. And then like having worked at a label and having gotten to see, you know, partner with publishing companies and management people and so many things in town, it's like I've really gotten a school lesson
yeah.
since I've been here. You know, like you said, like that's your school.
Yeah.
Me working at a record label or like partnering with, you know, great companies like 50 Egg Publishing and things like that. And you see how everyone works a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like kind of my school.
Yeah.
So this whole thing is about learning. This oh, whole yeah. thing is about growing.
Absolutely. You know?
And that's what's going to set artists that work and artists that don't apart, right? It's
yeah.
how much time, how much effort are you willing to put into it?
Mm-hmm.
How good are you to the people on your way up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because that means how much they're going to want to support you and how much if things don't go as good on a certain TikTok or whatever, that they're going to keep pushing you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You gotta keep going. And it's like every little nugget of information, you got to make sure that's stored in your brain.
Yeah.
Keep it in there. Don't let go of it. Just hold on tight to it. So
how much would you say like of your goals, like how much do you have firmed up? Like what are some of your things that you're like, man, when this happens, I'll like think that I like came to that next level? I know you have them.
Oh, I definitely have some major goals.
Yeah.
I feel like I set really high expectations for
That's
myself. So my major goals I've always had since I was a kid was tour the world with my music
mm-hmm.
and to have my own, like, either it's going to be a rescue farm or some kind of animal rescue through
oh, that's awesome.
My music, whatever that is. Those are like my two main goals. When it comes to like smaller goals, you know, that million streams or the duet, like that was a huge goal for me to have a duet with a major label artist.
Yeah.
That just never happens. But the fact that it did, like, check that one off and you got to keep moving. Little goals, funny one I had was to eat Mexican food 7 days in a row here in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I did that.
Let's go.
One of the biggest goals in there, actually.
Any specific Mexican food places that are like your go-to?
No, like I'm so basic. I go to like the chain places. But you know, Baja Burrito is
Hell
one of my
yes.
favorite places.
Very good.
Yes, well done.
Every time I go there, I'm like, I'm only going to eat half my burrito. I'll keep it. And then I'm like, that is so funny I said that because it's gone. Like, where did it go?
Baja Burrito is delicious. I've gone there for lunch plenty of times. And then I've gone there even where it was so busy that I was like, I'm going somewhere else. You know,
this yeah, is so true. Yeah. I'm like parking. It's the only place I'll walk to, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You got to like park at Logan's Roadhouse and walk over.
Yeah.
You know?
Shout out Baja. I love you.
Yeah. We love you, Baja.
Speaking of goals, didn't you get to sing on the Opry with Cam?
Yes. Yeah. That's another huge goal.
Yeah.
That was crazy. You know, Cameron loves to just surprise me with things because
God bless you, Cameron.
Yes. He called me. They called me the day before and they're like, hey, would you be interested in singing with Cameron tomorrow at the Opry, like singing the song, debuting it there? Yes, absolutely. I'd be interested. I immediately called my mom. I'm like, Mom, you got to get your butt up here from Georgia. I'm like, she's like, I'm in the car. I'm driving my pajamas right now. But yeah, that was awesome. A huge goal. Incredible time. It was just amazing. Honestly, it was a blur.
Were you nervous or?
I was very nervous. Just side stage, I actually like had my mom. I was like, "Mom, you can literally feel my heart beating through my chest right now. This is terrifying." Of course, yeah. And then as soon as I stepped on that stage, I was not nervous anymore. Just like seeing the wall of people was so comforting. It was like, "Oh, I'm good. We got this. This is what I'm here for."
I was scared shitless the first time I played the Aubrey.
It's a crazy thing, right? But like, you've had years of practice of performing in front of people.
Yeah.
So that's your safe space.
True. Right? Yeah. No, being on stage is my home for sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to think about that, right? That you're more comfortable in front of probably 10,000 people or 5,000 people than you are in front of 20 sometimes.
Absolutely.
Right? But it's all comes down to condition. I know one of the crazy things that Kurt's talked about is like kind of like muscle memory. You know, like when he's out on the road with Luke, like he's like, you just, the songs just come, you know, because he's played them so much.
Right.
Is that something that you see also like when you're performing at shows?
Definitely.
Like when you get into the song?
Absolutely. It just kind of flows. You don't even have to think about it. Mm-hmm. It's just comforting. Like I'm probably more nervous practicing in my bedroom than I am when I actually play the song on the stage, you know?
So crazy.
Yeah.
Kurt, as someone that's toured a lot, any advice for Aaron?
I mean, I think you're on the right track. You know, it seems like you're working hard and practicing a lot. Keep eating that good food, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Mexican.
Definitely.
Have you ever had Mos Tacos in East?
No.
All right. That's where you need to go.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Writing Mos it down tacos in my brain.
Mos Tacos might be my favorite Mexican in town.
It's so good.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to go.
Kurt lives in East, so we're over there, a decent bit.
Okay.
We used to do the pod over there, which would probably be easier for you, I assume. You live in the city?
I do. I live downtown.
Yeah.
Culture shock.
Sorry for making you come to the suburbs.
No, I'm good with it. A little drive doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah. But... like, I love Las Palmas, Like, same. If I'm talking about, like, a straight-up, like, good Mexican spot, Las Palmas.
Always.
But I went to Moss with Kurt one time, and I was like, oh, yeah.
That's the good.
This is, the real like, shit, a different thing.
Okay. You know? I really
it's
have to
It's more traditional.
Now.
It's not, like, Tex-Mex as much.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
It is. It's worth. You guys should probably just go right after this pod.
That's a great idea, actually.
It is lunchtime. I had Taco Bell for lunch today.
Oh, I love Taco Bell.
Kurt was like, yeah, you want any Taco Bell? And I was like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
People that don't eat a Taco Bell, like, I don't trust them.
Yeah, they might be terrorists, honestly.
I love Taco Bell. Yeah. It's my favorite.
If you're talking, like, straight up fast food, like, you know what you're going to get with Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah. And
Although, when I was in Scotland, I ordered Taco Bell and the menu was different.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was, like, still tacos and stuff, but, like, they had a lot of different options and it was really good. I was also real drunk, though. It was, like, 1:30 in the morning, like, after... drinking Guinness and scotch and stuff, but it was like the best Taco Bell experience I've had.
Did they still have fire sauce though?
Oh yeah, good. For sure.
You got to have that on everything.
Tradition. Yeah. Kurt was overseas and he was like running half marathons in like every city he was in.
Oh my gosh.
And then drinking beer. And I was like, I don't understand how this works.
It evens out, perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
And eating Taco Bell on top of it.
Yeah. Well, maybe not that balanced, I guess.
But it's interesting to get to see like different artists on the come up. And, it's funny too. I was talking to Peyton, he's our intern now, Peyton Heaven. I don't know if you know Peyton.
I do. Yeah.
But yeah. And we were chatting about you.
Oh.
Yeah. He loves your stuff. And I mean, of course we do too.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Super nice dude.
What do you got, coming in the pipeline that you want to shout out?
You know, obviously playing the round.
On the road.
Yeah, November 5th, it's going to be like a birthday celebration for me.
Happy
because
birthday.
November 4th is actually my birthday.
And you're 20.
So I'm going to be 20.
So we'll have to have one the next year. We'll do a birthday celebration.
Yeah. this one's just a sad birthday. I'm no longer like a teenager. I'm actually growing up, whatever. No, but
you think turning 20 is sad?
I think just
wait.
Every birthday is sad.
No.
26 is probably the saddest.
Think about this, right?
Because you get off health insurance, your parents' health
that's
insurance.
That's exactly like, what.
No. Think about it this way. The alternative to not getting older is
death.
So it's better than that, you know?
This is true.
You got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, this is so true.
Yep.
But between that, I'm playing more rounds, but definitely come to that one.
Yeah.
And just, I'm cutting new songs constantly, writing every week. So look out for new music.
Mm-hmm. Who produces your stuff?
So I currently just cut 5 songs with Chris August.
Awesome.
Coming up, I am might be cutting some stuff with Dan Huff. Nice. So fingers crossed, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're just kind of like writing songs, getting ready for that.
Cool.
And then we're gonna release some stuff. Yeah. Super excited.
Are you doing like a single drop and then single?
I'm thinking it's gonna be more singles.
Yeah.
Just because we're finally releasing stuff.
Yeah.
Keeping it in that we worked our way towards going from I feel like Boys These Days was the most pop country, mm-hmm. going up to Redneck Rich,
yeah.
mm-hmm. which is the more raw country. And then we're going to keep it there for a minute. So an EP might be coming soon.
Hell yeah. Well, you can always turn the singles into an EP at the end too.
True.
You know?
True.
With the way music culture is right now, it's like if you are on the come up, you want to release singles.
Yeah.
And once you're there, you want to release like 75 track albums.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Morgan Wallen set a high for us.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, if you think about it, once you have that buzz, it's a cheat code because like mm-hmm. the way they're monitoring the charts are how long does it stay up there?
Yeah.
Well, that's the total consumption rate, right?
Yeah.
So that's how many times all of those songs are getting listened to.
Right.
So if you have twice as many songs on your album as the previous one, and they're really good songs, you know, of course they're going to keep up at the top of the charts.
Yeah.
Look at Zach Bryan and like,
I was just about to say
he just puts out a new album like every 15 days or something. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I'm like, I don't even know how a distributor deals with that. You know, just new music all the time.
Yeah.
But if you have the thing going, that's how you do it. But till you get there, it's give every song a day in the sun.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
What's your favorite song you've dropped so far?
Redneck Rich.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's fun. Yeah.
Who'd you write it with?
Chris August and Skip Black.
Heck yeah.
Just love that song. It was a fun write and it turned into an even more fun song.
Yeah. I love that one too, honestly.
Thank you.
That's
probably
my favorite of yours. Is there a music video for it?
There is. Yeah. We shot it in Madison, Tennessee.
Nice.
This cute little teal camper. It was so redneck rich. Love that. There's a music video. You can check that out.
Yeah, it sounds like something worth checking out for sure.
Yeah, we like to say like Raise Rowdy's kind of like the trailer park of country music. You know what I mean? So like redneck rich. I mean, as you see by the nice wood grain backdrop behind you.
I love it.
Yeah. The plywood wood grain that we have in the mix room here.
Yeah.
But that song like definitely fits like a Raise Rowdy vibe. You know,
totally.
I hope that's one that you play when you're playing the round.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's such a fun song to play acoustic.
Yes.
That like anytime I can play that song,
yeah,
I will be playing that song. Oh, yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to the round.
I am too. It's going to be great. Thank you so much for being here and for doing that.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
So nice to meet y'all.
You too. Yeah, I'm sorry for offering you beer when you weren't 21.
It's
I would never do it again.
Probably not.
Yeah. So tell everybody on your socials like where they can follow you, what your handles are.
Yeah, so my socials are all the same. It's Aaron, E-R-I-N, Kirby, like mm-hmm. the vacuum, music. So Aaron Kirby Music.
That's it. And what's your favorite platform? Is it TikTok or what is
it? Probably TikTok, yeah. I post a lot on Instagram though too.
Yeah.
Instagram stories, I just like post so much nonsense
that
I kind of love that.
Give people a little bit of the inside, you know, of the chaos in your life.
Oh yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, and being part of the Raise Rowdy family podcast.
Yay.
Yeah, and we can't wait to have you on Rowdy on the Row.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. Thank you all so much.
See you November 4th.
Yeah. Well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the front row.